here's a story from The World.
In tough times, art can be the best way to communicate, telling a story that can't be explained otherwise. Sometimes it's the only way to communicate. My colleague Marco Werman has just such a story. It's connected to the hundreds of thousands of Uyghur people who are trapped in so-called re-education camps in northwest China.
Recently, a professor in one of those camps wrote a poem that traveled across barbed wire fences and guard towers and reached a former student, historian Joshua Freeman. Joshua joins me now from Princeton, New Jersey. So your former professor is Abdulkader Jalaluddin. For those of us who don't know Joshua, I mean, he's more than a professor. In Uyghur culture, he's a great poet. When was the last time you'd heard from him?
Well, the last time that I saw Abdulkader was in late 2016. I had gone to his apartment for dinner. This was in Urumqi, which is the capital city of the Uyghur region, the Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region in northwest China. And, you know, as we always do, we had a great conversation, had a couple of bottles of baijiu, which is Chinese liquor. You know, it was just a really lovely evening.
A few months after you'd spent that lovely evening together, roundups began of Uyghurs, including Abdulkader. They can't communicate with the outside world in the camps. Then this summer, you did get word from him in the form of a poem. How did the poem reach you?
What I learned is that even in the camps, my old professor had continued writing poetry. I assume because he is such a revered poet and because Uyghurs, you know, value poetry so highly, other inmates memorized his poems and somehow managed to transmit at least one of them beyond the camp gates. I doubt that Abdulkader ever expected that this poem was going to reach me. I was deeply moved that other inmates had managed to get this poem beyond the camp. I felt that this was a witness that the world needed to hear, that this was a testimony the world needed to hear.
So it's something of a mystery, the path that this poem traveled to reach you. But you said word of mouth. That suggests people were memorizing it all the way down the line. So, Joshua, would you mind reading Abdulkader Jalaluddin's poem for us? Uyghur first.
No road back home. Abdulkader Jalaluddin. Bir bulunda yeganimin, migarim yok. Keçileri qara basti, tumarim yok. Bu hayatın özge. In this forgotten place, I have no lover's touch. Each night brings darker dreams. I have no amulet. My life is all I ask. I have no other thirst. These silent thoughts torment. I have no way to hope. Who I once was, what I've become, I cannot know. Who could I tell my heart's desires? I cannot say. My love, the temper of the fates, I cannot guess. I long to go to you. I have no strength to move. Through cracks and crevices, I've watched the seasons change. For news of you, in vain, I've looked to buds and flowers. To the marrow of my bones, I've ached to be with you. What road led here? How can I have no road back home?
Wow. Joshua, when you first read Jalaluddin's poem, No Road Back Home, what was running through your mind?
I was profoundly moved in a number of ways. Obviously, I think about what's happening in the Uyghur region all the time. I've read a great deal about it. I've written about it before. But this was one of the very most affecting and direct documents I'd ever encountered from, you know, the unimaginable suffering that's happening there right now. Now, when I think about him, I sort of think about him writing this poem. And that's kind of the image that comes to my mind now. And, you know, amidst all of the suffering and hopelessness, there's the resilience and the courage and the creativity of writing this poem. Many of the best known and most influential and most loved documents of Uyghur history are poems. This poem is very much, you know, a very important document of what's happening right now.
All evidence suggests Beijing is attacking Uyghur culture. Joshua, what do you think is the specific power of poetry to fight against cultural genocide? And do you think it can stop an actual genocide?
In terms of Uyghur continuity and in terms of self-preservation and in terms of keeping one's spirits up amidst an impossible situation. I think poetry has that kind of direct role here. Even now, despite everything happening there, I think this poem is testament to the fact that poetry is continuing to have that role. It sort of depends on, you know, the world. Is the world going to listen to these voices? Is the world going to stand silently? Is the world going to listen?
Joshua Freeman, a historian at Princeton University and a translator of Uyghur poetry, thank you very much for speaking with us about this.
Thank you for having me.